On tonight's episode, it's that time. We got our bowl game picks.
And we've got the greatest road playoff team you have literally never heard of.
Also, we're not just talking about football. We'll talk about the other major three. We got some basketballs and some baseball updates as well.
All around the belt. Let's roll it. On the show tonight, we've got...
Every night was a battle.
You can lock this in, take it to the bank.
No class at all. It's unbelievable.
They should see a relatively quick turnaround.
Show me the money!
Big water slides, snow cone truck and everything.
One team stands alone.
Well, you know, what I think about Troy.
I'm losing my mind over here.
We've got the moment you've all been waiting for.
Of course.
Welcome into another exciting episode of the Bench Boys Podcast. I'm Colin Cahill.
I'm Thomas Gleaton.
And we are the Bench Boys. Man, have we got a fully loaded episode for you guys tonight. It's going to be a good one.
Watch out, Herbie.
Watch out, Herbie. We got bowl game selections going on. Like, I mean, coaching carousel kind of calmed down.
Yeah. It's
also
slowed down because we'll get to it.
Also, we've got a recruiting update. I'm adding this into the show right now.
That's fine.
Because I just thought about it. We got early signing day.
Calling an audible.
Early signing day this week is also going to happen. We're going to give you a quick rundown of who's leading the top recruiting classes in the conference.
Yep.
A lot of change been going on between those three as well.
Yeah. You heard us talk about, we're going to talk about the other two schools or major sports, not
major
schools.
Sports.
I'm losing my mind tonight. We've got some football is starting to sort of wrap up. Basketball's starting to heat up. And baseball, there's a little bit of tremor.
It's like peeking. It's like kind of like open the blinds.
Yeah, it's like do I want to go outside? Eh? No, it's too much snow.
It's long enough
just for you to realize there's somebody inside that house. Yeah.
So we've got a chalk show tonight. Again, thank you for tuning in. Subscribe. Hit that subscribe button, basically.
Do it.
Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, any of the social media, at the OG Bench Boys. You can find some sweet, sweet takes. Anything interesting happened in your life over the last week?
Yeah, actually. I found, I don't know if y'all saw this on Twitter or not, but I found a Mobile Alabama Bowl tie.
Oh, yeah.
At Goodwill.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Dude, you got some good reactions out of that.
I know.
Some really interesting things.
Exactly.
Somebody had a bat that had Hank Aaron's name on it.
One of our coworkers who works at the TV station we work at, he toured a facility, a bat making facility, and got a bat with his name on it, and then turned around and Hank Aaron signed it. Crazy stuff.
Incredible memorabilia.
Crazy
that
stuff.
People have. Like,
yeah.
Like dirt from Rosenblatt.
That
the
was
old,
awesome.
Old,
that
that's
was
where
awesome.
The College World Series used to be held
but
at.
Yeah.
If you don't know what Rosenblatt Stadium is,
in Omaha. We'll go to get some college baseball stuff later, but.
Omaha.
I was just wandering around Goodwill. I was like, why the heck not? And caught my eye, and I was like, I got to have that.
That's some pretty vintage.
$2.
There you go.
Right.
You can find some steals at the Goodwill.
Absolutely.
Heck yeah. So, let's just get into it and get into everything, and let's get out the gate.
Out of the gate.
That's right. Out the gate. Let's get to it. I mean, early signing day, less than 3 days away at the time of this recording. By the time that everybody's going to be listening to this, it's going to be Thursday. Pretty sure that is. It's like December 18th, so.
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. We dated the crap out of this episode at this point right now. Give you guys a quick update as of this recording. Quick update on the recruiting. Louisiana retook the number one spot. Troy had it for about a minute, and then Louisiana jumped back in. Louisiana, 17 commits. All 17 of them are rated 3 stars. Solid, solid class for Billy Napier. App State, they're the ones, they're second right now. 16 commits, all 3 stars. Troy with 18 commits, 14 of those are 3 stars. A couple of them are 2 stars. Georgia State coming in at fourth with 16 commits. Coastal Carolina, 17 commits at number 5. Louisiana, 16. South Alabama, who before the season started had the number one class in the conference, now sitting at 7th in the conference with 17 commits. Georgia Southern, 13. And then rounding out the top two, this might be the most surprising one. Texas State at 9. Arkansas State at 10 with only 12 commits. Texas State had 11. I think Arkansas State, you would think that they would have more commits at this point, obviously. But just the way they've played, I mean, they're one of those teams that you kind of think they rack up on them, but they've had some scholarship issues. We talked to Blake Anderson before the season, and he said, you know, we've been shorthanded for the last like 4 years. Like, people don't understand that. Like, we didn't have the same number of scholarship players as what Troy, Georgia Southern, App State did the last 3 years. We've been short, and so you really would have thought because of they're catching up on scholarships that, you know, they kind of overload in one of their classes. Obviously this is only early signing day, so they still have February to get kids in.
But so comparatively, what's the likelihood that they do pull ahead in the next?
I don't know. I think their number is like closer to 15 or 16 for early signing day. I think that's their cap for early. But I think at the end, I think they get 22 or 23 guys. I think that's how it's going to be for a lot of these schools. I think the 17 to 19 is where a lot, like those top five teams, Troy's obviously at 18 already. Troy might get to 20, to be honest with you. They lost a commit. They lost one of their top commits in the state of Alabama for them. One of their top in-state commits. Let me make that more clear. Not one of the top players in Alabama, but a really good player. That I think is probably going to go to Duke. We'll probably hear that on signing day. He will probably commit to Duke. Louisiana did lose one of their top commits, but gained another one.
Texas State, how many did they have again?
Texas State was ninth with 11 commits.
See, that's what blows my mind is Texas
New
State.
New coach, you would think excitement.
Right.
Yeah.
But they're also in Texas, and we talked about it all the time, how Texas and Louisiana have the highest rated classes.
Yeah.
Texas State has a number 9 recruiting class right now in the conference.
Yeah.
Out of 10.
Yeah.
Like, they're not doing so hot right now.
I think
now.
That's just reflective of their play. I think they need to win some ball games. I think South Alabama, I think they had a lot of momentum coming into this season. And I think just the way that they've played has kind of slowed down. I think their number could have been closer to like a 22, 23 at this point, not 17, had they won a couple more games, had they kind of created a little bit more excitement. Now, granted, they did pick up 2 commits this week with some JC guys. They got a really good quarterback off the national championship junior college team out of Mississippi Gulf Coast this week. And they've got a linebacker.
And that goes for both South and Texas State.
Yeah. I just think the play is kind of, and that's what shocks me about Ark State. You know, this is a team that they went 7-5 this year, right? And
going to a bowl game.
Going to another bowl game for the ninth straight year. You just thought that would have, you know, they have a better foundation that should be able to get them kind of some more early commits, such as, you know, the schools like App State and Troy and Louisiana.
And that's why I asked. I was like, why wouldn't they, do you really think they're going to close the gap between now and February?
Between now and February, I think so. You're going to get your 23 guys. You're going to get your 23 to 25 guys, like no matter what. That's what a school is going to go after. It's just, are those last 8 guys, are they the guys that you really wanted? That's the real question. Are they guys that are just going to, they're going to be slot fillers? But the team that I think should be kind of on, don't hit a panic button, but obviously a team that should be kind of wary of how their class stands is obviously App State with losing Eli Drinkwitz. You want to see what he takes with him. I know he's already announced a couple of staff hires, but that, I think, depending on who he takes, obviously we saw a little bit of attrition last year when Neil Brown left with the whole staff. I think App State should very well, you hope that you get a lot of these kids to sign that dotted line this week. That would take a lot of like worry off of a lot of their fans and a lot of their.
I will say, if any program is going to do it, App State has
they
the
do.
Culture
they have,
to do it.
They have the pedigree to do it. Kids want to go there because it's App State,
but also the program and the way it's built internally. Mm-hmm. I've made this comparison before. I've talked about Joey Jones being similar to this, but just having and Blake Anderson to an extent too, mm-hmm. but just having a good, moral, solid foundation as a program in what you do, I feel like App State's going to be fine.
Yeah, definitely. The team that's on the rise, I tweeted about this, Coastal Carolina, they've picked up 4 commits in the past week. Coastal Carolina is flying up the board. They could get, I think Coastal, if they could get a couple more guys out of South Carolina that are decently ranked, and I think Coastal Carolina could maybe get to 3, maybe 2, depending on how App State and Troy finish. Troy's another one of those teams that I'm not saying hit the panic button at all on your recruiting class. you know, it a big loss. The guy.
Well,
they,
you really can't say anything about the panic button. You shouldn't even be looking at the panic button.
No, I don't.
If you're in the top three of this conference now.
Well, it's just the way how the season kind of finished for Troy. And, you know, when a team sees the struggles, especially the defensive commits coming in, when they see those defensive struggles of what happened to that defense this year, and they all of them, I mean, kind of probably look at the board. They probably all say, okay, hey, is this the same guy? Is this that same defense that I saw for 3 years straight, or is this something else? And, you know, those, I mean, they're 18-year-old kids, but they've got to look at the board like that. And so that's, that would be, I think App State and Troy, I think, are the two teams that could take hits on signing day. And not because of, let me make this clear, not because of maybe the whole team or how they finish. Obviously, App State 12-1. But just the fact that they've got some players in there that some bigger teams might be looking at. Like, and that's, I think that's what we saw with the kid who just decommitted from Troy yesterday, that Duke has kind of come in. Duke's an ACC school. They can sell that. That's always been the problem.
Well, and that kind of comes back to what I was going to say was the good recruiters, if you shouldn't be hitting a panic button if you've got decent recruiters. The good recruiters, not just the decent ones, are going to be the ones that can spin that and say, well, you see how bad that was? You see how much we lost? We need you, and convince them that they need him.
Yeah.
I will agree with you on the Duke point there too, though. That's going to be the problem for a lot of these teams, especially lower down their ranks, like South Alabama and Georgia Southern. The earliest
they're recruiting in states that are hotbeds,
right?
Especially when you look at Louisiana, when you look at Georgia State, when you look at Troy, those the majority of their classes are from hotbeds. Georgia, Alabama, right
Louisiana.
Now in Louisiana, obviously Louisiana, but like right now. And that's the interesting thing that early signing day brings, is that a lot of these teams, they're trying to wrap up these guys like now. I mean, now. So when it doesn't come time for the second, the original signing day in February, these kids are locked down. They don't have schools coming to them late in the process. And this has all changed the game. And it's been really interesting. Last year I saw a stat of the top, I think it was the 400 players in the country, 75% of them signed on early signing day last year. And early signing day has only been around for 2 years. So you're talking about 75% of those top 400 players. I mean, that's all pretty much Power Five guys right there.
Yeah.
You know, you might slide a couple guys down into Houston and to the UCFs of the world and Boise States of the world, but all those guys are really Power Five. And if Power Fives aren't filling or aren't finding those guys for early signing day, they're going to dip down and they're going to try to find some of the higher rated prospects for teams like Louisiana and for Troy and for App State. So it's going to be really interesting. I think Louisiana holds on.
I mean,
they're only up right now. And this is all per 247. They're up literally less than a full percentage point to App State. I just think they close better. I think Billy Napier, the season he's had, the fact that he's still there at this point, I think that plays into a big factor. And I think Louisiana just closes really strong. I think they get to 20.
I agree with you on all of those points simply because we have two 10-win teams this year, mm-hmm. and one of them is in the best recruiting state in the country, that's Louisiana, in Louisiana.
Yeah.
So I agree with you on top of all that.
Yeah. So the fact that Louisiana, App State, I mean, those are your two teams in your conference championship this year. They're 1-2 in recruiting. So they're battling recruiting. They're battling on the field. So it's just really interesting. I love recruiting. I think it's fun. It's fun to track. So,
Let's keep going in the football direction because do we cover all the championship games last week? I think we like went through, talked about Louisiana and App State.
Yeah.
The one game we didn't talk about is because it didn't happen yet was the Army-Navy game.
Army-Navy game.
We picked correctly on that one as well.
We did. Navy rolled.
Yeah.
I think we should have.
It was a slow start for them, but they picked up
steam. We should have given more credit to that quarterback.
Malcolm Perry.
I did not realize that Malcolm Perry was the AAC player of the year.
Neither did I.
Did not know that. The kid is a stud. Other cool thing that happened out of that, I know we don't talk politics a lot, but President Trump was there.
Mm-hmm.
He signed into an executive order that gives the ability for military academy players that if they can pursue an NFL career and get drafted, that they are allowed to go play in the NFL right as they get done instead of having to go out. Because that was the thing with Ricky Dobbs a couple years ago. He was going to be drafted like in the third or fourth round. I mean, he was a really good player, but he did not submit to be into the NFL draft because he had to go
And serve 2 years.
He had to go serve his two years or 4 years.
And there are many, many, many different stories about players that have had to do that from all sorts, all over the place.
So that was kind of a cool thing that came out of that game. The fact that, you know, these guys, I mean, because they're some pretty good athletes. I mean, these guys obviously train doing things that a lot of teams don't train like.
Yeah.
And if they can do some of that stuff, I mean, imagine what they could do on a football field. So,
yeah. They're already going to have the conditioning down. Yeah. So
I don't think there's going to be a question about that.
So. The other game last week, let's go ahead and hop into it. Okay. The game that I was watching, I did not watch the Navy game. I turned it off after like the first quarter, and that was a smart decision apparently. Mm-hmm. I watched the West Florida Ferris State.
Ferris State, the powerhouse of Ferris State.
I'm still upset that they are not called the
Ferrets?
Wheelers.
Oh.
Ferris State Wheelers.
Oh.
Yeah, come on. Yeah. Goes right in there.
What about the Buellers?
That would be good too. I could go with that.
Ferris State Buellers.
The Ferris State Buellers, yeah. Ferris and they got a picture of
Bueller.
Ben Stein is their logo.
Bueller.
Yeah.
No, that was a heck of a game. Let me tell you something. UWF, we kind of previewed it in the cold open. This is the greatest road playoff team literally you guys have never heard of.
Yeah. Like I can't think of another team that has done what they have done.
Like, this is a Florida team that has to go play all these teams up north in frigid conditions.
That's another thing I was thinking about as they were kicking off. I see all these people from friggin' Michigan, Central Michigan, bundled up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if it's cold for them, how about these people from Pensacola?
Yeah.
Like,
this is incredible. This is just to give you guys some history on UWF to our listeners, UWF has only had a football program for 4 years.
Yeah.
It started out as a flag football team.
Yeah.
About 7 years ago. That's literally what it started out as. Well, then they went to club
South
football.
Started as, yeah.
And so on. But they've had a 4-year program. They've been to the national title game twice now. They haven't played in the second one yet. But spoiler alert, they ended up winning the ball game. But for a 4-year-old program, their first program ever to do that. Ever. They were the first program ever to go to a national championship game in its first 2 years ever. I mean, this is like Pensacola. I don't think it's a secret. Pensacola is a hotbed for recruiting. There's plenty of talent that comes out of the panhandle. And UWF is reaping the rewards because
Trent Richardson, Emmett Smith. We had a conversation about this season.
We've talked
about
this.
We had our whole episode about like, Mobile versus Pensacola.
The talent that comes out of Pensacola is ridiculous. Sawyer Smith, to name one.
Josh Donaldson
moved
to Mobile. But
for many sports, there's plenty. Reggie Evans in the NBA. I mean, we could go a long list of just players that have come out of Pensacola, Florida. And not even that, just the panhandle. I mean, Niceville. I mean, over into Tallahassee. And this is UWF. UWF, okay, yeah, they aren't going to get the 4-star, the high guys. But there's plenty of those 2-star talent guys that Pensacola said, West Florida was like, hey, this is a brand new program. We also play in a minor league baseball stadium, which we...
On the water.
On the water. Probably one of the nicest venues out of any Division II college in the country.
Oh, for sure.
And that's me saying because I've only been to about 3. But heck, I'll put it out there. It's one of the nicest venues in all of Division II college football. They've got some dudes on their team, by the way.
Yeah, and the scary thing about it is they're just about recruiting against Troy and
South Alabama, yeah,
and because they're right there between them,
yeah,
and the rest of the Sun Belt, they're recruiting against these 2-star guys that Troy and South are needing to fill rosters.
They recruit against a lot of junior colleges.
That's true,
a lot, especially in Mississippi.
So they're pulling from a lot of different teams.
So and I mean, they've got some dudes. They had some. I think last year they had I want to say at the beginning of the year they had 9 Division I transfers on their team.
I remember us talking about that.
I mean, they were loaded last year. And this year, I don't think they have as many, but he's developed some pretty good players.
And injuries were a big deal last year,
too.
Oh,
yeah. They were on their 5th-string quarterback by game 4. So that's why they had a bad year. But this year, they have 2 losses. One was the first game of the year. The second one was to the number 1 ranked team in the country, Valdosta State, who they avenged that loss in the second round of the playoffs on the road again. Beat them, ended their 15-game home winning streak, ended their 25-game winning streak. They go and they beat them on the road, and then they go up to, Pennsylvania? They went someplace but in between Valdosta State and
Lenore Ryan.
Yeah, Lenore Ryan. That was up in North Carolina, I think.
Yeah.
So up north, and then they go way up north to Michigan this week, play a team that literally hadn't lost a game all year. The four teams that they played so far in the playoffs had a combined record of 45-1.
Yep.
When they played them, and they beat all four teams. So it's just it's wild that they go up and they go to these places that they've never been for. Some of these kids definitely have never heard of these schools before, I can tell you that. And they go and they don't care. They just go and they beat you. That's what they do. I mean, they force 6 turnovers.
I was going to say, like, did you watch the game at all? Were you able to catch any of it?
No, I was at a Christmas parade.
That's fine. Things happen. It's that kind of that time of year.
Yeah.
I was boring and have no social life and stayed home and watched it. My player of the week, my Bet on Sports player of the week is Tate Leteo.
He's the
wide receiver for the Argos. 7 catches, 118 yards, and 2 touchdowns, including what would end up being the game-winning touchdown. But the thing is, this team... they had so many opportunities. They did force 6 turnovers, but they missed a field goal early on. Mm-hmm. They threw an interception in the end zone in the third quarter. There are so many little fine-tuned things that they could have done better to have won this game. They still pulled it out, and they still, like, it felt like they could have scored at any given moment. The only reason that they didn't score And the only reason they didn't score anymore was because they made mistakes themselves. Mm-hmm. And honestly, that's something they're gonna have to change. But if you look at the box score, you're gonna see a game that went back and forth. Mm-hmm. But if you go back and watch it, you're gonna see a team where Ferris State made mistake after mistake after mistake.
Yeah.
They shot themselves in the foot.
They did.
UWF basically threw the ball away. Mm-hmm. It was less dangerous mistakes and fewer of them, but the better team won that day.
Oh, yeah.
They just didn't win by enough.
Yeah. No, it was an incredible game. I mean, it's mind-boggling. It really is. And this is the thing. Go ahead.
If they've played like this all year, then...
oh, they'd probably be a top 5 nationally ranked team.
Yeah.
I mean, now, like...
but
I mean,
if they could trim the mistakes they made,
yeah,
there's no reason they shouldn't beat Minnesota State.
Well, I think their second year when they went into the playoffs, they were actually like a 7-4 team.
Yes.
Like, they kind of just limped into the playoffs, kind of got a little lucky, and then just hit their stride and kind of did the same. That they literally did the same thing. They won every single game. Every playoff game was on the road, and for them to do it again, like, it's just, it's wild. That and this is the thing. If you've never been to Pensacola, I one recommend you do, and then two, this is the thing about Pensacola. This is a Division II team. You've got radio stations. Like this morning, there was the 3 radio stations, because I live in Pensacola, so I'm listening to Pensacola radio stations coming into work. There's all 3 radio stations had some sort of segment, either like 2 of them had the coach, the other one had the athletic director.
Right.
The amount of people that care about this school that's only had football for 4 years, like the pride that comes out of Pensacola about, and this is the shot. This is the crazy thing. They do it about every sport, any sport. They had one high school that went to the state championship game in Florida, ended up losing it, unfortunately, but everybody, like all the high schools you saw on social media, everybody's posting about do it for Pensacola, do it for A50. I mean, it's incredible how this town, it doesn't, if you come out of Pensacola, everyone's behind you, everybody's got your back, and everybody's gonna be rooting for you. And that's how West Florida is right now, because it's just crazy, because they're such a young program and everybody treats them like, if they win this national title game, let me tell you something, there's gonna be a parade. I can guarantee it that there will be a
parade.
There's
a parade for every national title team.
Oh,
but
I know that.
I'm going to tell you
it
this
will be
much.
An actual one, though.
You know what it sort of reminds me of?
Gotcha.
Georgia Southern and Appalachian State.
Oh, yeah.
Georgia Southern started the program in 85, and then Eric Russell, whatever his name is, they went to like 3 or 4 national title games in the first couple years. And, I mean, it was at either Division II or the FCS level, but that fan base in Georgia and in Statesboro is as crazy and as rabid as it gets.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a positive thing. They absolutely have the same vibe. And I'm feeling that in West Florida too, yeah, in Pensacola, because you're right. They love their Blue Wahoos. They love their Ice Flyers. And
it's wild. I mean, anything that it's like Oz, anything that comes out of that town, people are going to die for. And it's just crazy.
Amazing how different it is from Mobile an hour away.
60 miles apart.
Yeah.
Just incredible. So
that's an episode in and of itself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So he was your Been On Sports guy. We're going to talk more about West Florida here later in the show. They're part of our pick 'em this week because they're obviously in the national title
game. Come on.
So yeah, they're gonna be part of it. My Been On Sports player of the week. I'm gonna pull another one like we did a couple weeks ago, where I'm gonna pick an entire unit.
Go for it.
And the unit that I'm picking, because obviously I wanted to go Malcolm Perry, because yeah, 300 yards on like 29 carries.
Fair pick.
Hell of a game. I mean, he gets it. We know he's the American Conference player, or whatever it is, player of the year. But I'm gonna go a little bit more obscure sports, just like how you kind of did.
Let's do it.
I'm going FCS championship playoffs quarterfinals, because they can figure out how to put more than four teams in a playoff.
Huh. Who'd have thought?
James Madison taking on Northern Iowa.
All right.
Northern Iowa. You know I love my Iowa teams. Well, this Iowa team did not do so hot this week.
Oh,
James
God.
Madison won 17-0. And you're like, 17-0? Colin, what are you going to find out of that?
Yeah, like it.
Well, I'm going to give it to the James Madison defense, because the James Madison defense only allowed 7 first downs the entire game. 114 yards passing.
Okay.
0 yards rushing. 0.
All right.
They gave up 0 yards. They had the ball for 42 minutes, the offense did.
The offense had it for 42 minutes?
42 minutes. the Northern Iowa ran a total. This is a total number of plays for the game. 49 plays. That was the total amount of plays they ran for the entire game. That's it.
They played 49 plays.
On offensive, 49 offensive snaps. They were 12 of 30 on passing for 114 yards. Had 19 rushing attempts that garnered 0 rushing yards. That's literally what James Madison did.
You keep talking. I got
James Madison. They had 21 first downs, but I mean I got to focus on this defense. I mean, you're talking about 0 yards rushing is wild to me. Now they probably had a couple of sacks in here that banged that thing down, but still 0 yards rushing is wild. Their offense did what they needed to do. They had 21 first downs. They were 13 of 24 on third down conversions. They had 24 third down attempts. Think about that.
24?
24. So they're driving the ball. Like, that's not like they aren't getting first downs on the first down play. They are taking every down to get that first down. So, no, James Madison, 13-1, knocks off Northern Iowa in the quarterfinals. I got to give it to that defense. That was a heck of a defense. They move on to the semifinals and will take on Weber State, who's 11-3. And of course, then they have to play the Alabama of the FCS. And I think you know who I'm talking about.
North Dakota State.
The Bison of North Dakota State, who is undefeated, who they had a tight game. They played Illinois State this past week, only won 9-3. First time that North Dakota State has been held without a touchdown in a game since 2002. Think about that. 2002. It's been 17 years since they've had a game where they haven't scored a touchdown. So they won 9-3, had 3 field goals. I mean, credit Illinois State, because they really just, I mean, baffled North Dakota State the entire game. So, but no, back to my Been On Sports. I'll give it to JMU's defense. Been one heck of a game. They will take on Weber State this week. Maybe they can replicate. What you got?
He's
been crunching the numbers over here.
I did something wrong. I did 17 as a number by itself instead of 17 times 60, which is exactly how many seconds I should have done. So the number of seconds divided by the number of plays, James Madison literally held Northern Iowa. Every single play took them 20.8 seconds. They had the ball for about 17 minutes, and they ran 49 plays. That's 20 seconds a play. That,
ladies and gentlemen, we give you facts that you didn't even know you wanted to know.
Right, the clock rolled for so long. That's about the time it takes for you to get set. That's less than the play clock.
Yeah. Pretty solid.
Yeah. Yeah. So
yeah, JMU, Been On Sports unit of the week, I guess. As we'll give them. So, but that'll do it for that. And I think now, let's go around the belt.
Around the Belt.
And we're taking you around the belt. Can you turn that into a sound bite? No.
Okay. I'll see what I can
all
do.
All right, whatever you can do.
So I had fun with the robot voice last week.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Yeah, I did hear that. I heard a little piece of that. All like Tektron. No, what did I say it was?
I don't know.
Morbotic or something. I don't know. But no, we're going around the belt, ladies and gentlemen.
Obviously, is accurate. Oh.
Oh, man, you are on it tonight.
I know.
So no, we're going to, we're going around the belt. Let's go ladies first,
sure,
as usual. Women's basketball.
We're nothing if not gentlemen.
We are stand up gentlemen here. We can attest. We both have you're about to have a wife.
She's my wife, let's be real.
Gentlemen, yeah.
What?
Just say yes.
Yeah.
There you go. Mm-hmm. So we have we got some women's basketball update. Coastal Carolina still leading the conference on a 4-game winning streak, 8-1. Still, I think it's good. 8-1.
Well, we talked about it last week. It's impressive for you to be 8-1 at any point in the season.
Don't look at their schedule because they really haven't played anybody.
That doesn't matter.
They played Wesleyan College.
It doesn't matter. They're 8-1.
Wesleyan. They won by 100 points.
Okay, but what's the record?
8-1.
8-1. They're 8-1.
They won by 100 points.
They're 8-1.
They won 132-32.
They are 8-1.
That's incredible.
Like, okay.
Good for you, Coastal Carolina. You won by 100 points.
It is. It is.
That might be the largest, like victory. Like,
that's
like
probably the largest program victory.
Program victory ever, like deficit-wise. Yeah, 8-1. They're good. They got it. I'll give it to you. You're 8-1. It's early in the season. We'll wait till conference play. Troy, 7-2. Louisiana, 6-3. Texas State, 6-2. UTA, 5-5. That is your top five for women's basketball. Here's my superlatives. Troy and UTA probably have the two most impressive defenses in the conference. One of those two teams, UTA, not a shocker. They like to play it a little bit slow, but they grind you out. I mean, they don't. That has been their MO for the last 3 years. Here's the thing, UTA, they're 5-5. Yes, they're 5-5. But of their five losses, only three of those teams have scored more than 60 points in those five losses. Think about that. Those three teams, Oregon, Louisville, you kind of expect that one, right? Well, they played Kansas State, held Kansas State to less than 60 points. They played Oklahoma State, held them to less than 60 points.
They lost, but they held them less
than 60 points. They beat Kansas State, but they lost to the Oklahoma State. So they held them less than 60 points. The third team that has scored more than 60 points on them, Wright State. Wright, not left state and right state,
it's like the Wright brothers, like flying
the Wright
plane.
Brothers, yes, yeah. The Wright brothers, yes. That is the third team. They scored 62
like
points.
David Wright on the Mets.
There you go, David Wright. Now since we're a radio, we should have clearly explained to you that it's Wright, not Wright. So yeah, Wright State, they scored 62 points on them. They did lose it. UTA won that game, but they did give up more than 60 points. Troy, on the other hand, they don't have the 60 number. They have 70. They've only allowed two teams, and it's their only two losses the entire season, to score more than 70 points, and that was Duke and Mississippi State. I don't know why I wrote down Minnesota. I'm glad I said it right. It was definitely Mississippi State.
But let's think about that, because of all the teams in the country, mm-hmm. Those two teams are two of the most likely to make it to the Final Four, are we right?
Well, Duke women's basketball isn't, it's not like their men's basketball team.
Okay.
They're in the ACC, they're still good. They're probably going to go to the big dance this year. Mississippi State for sure. Mississippi State has been a Elite Eight team.
The year
sure.
that Troy made it in, they lost
ran.
To Mississippi State on the way to the title.
No, Mississippi State has been I'm pretty sure an Elite Eight team the last 3 years. If not, I know they've been a Sweet 16 team the last 3 years for sure. So they're constantly one of the top 16 teams in the country.
But the point is, they're two Power 5 teams.
Yeah, they're two
Power 5 teams. Two very good basketball programs.
Other than those two teams, they've held everybody to under 70 points. I mean, we're talking their last four games, 51, 61, 42, 62. That's their last four games.
They held them under 63.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have the UTA number of under 60, but they're damn near close. for holding teams under 70 points. So I'll give them that. It's been very impressive. So
what were the Troy scores in the last four games?
90, 79, 72, and 68. They kind of hit a little snag on their offense.
Yeah.
But this last game woke up. They woke up.
Clearly.
Putting back up to 90. That's the difference, is Troy has always had an offense that is crazy. I mean, in their first five games, 101, 74, 94, 82, 85. First
74 is an outlier.
Yeah. Everything else was above basically 82 points, which that is what Troy's used to doing. Now, if you add their offense of doing what they are supposed to do and scoring 90 points a game, basically, or 80 points a game, and you put that with allowing teams less than 70,
I did some math in the last segment.
Okay.
I'm going to do some real quick math here. You said 82 is pretty much the average there.
Yeah.
And you said keeping them under 70. That's at least, if I'm thinking about this right, you carry the two, 12 points.
Yeah, difference.
They're beating these teams by 12 points,
mm-hmm.
which, I mean, it's not too much, but that's a pretty solid win score. If you beat just about every team, 82 to 70.
Well, their last three games, 30-point win. 18-point win,
mm-hmm.
39-point win. That's mm-hmm. their last three games.
So that's starting to pull them apart.
Yeah, yeah, they're starting to figure it out. So
yeah.
They're about to they go to Las Vegas to go play in the Las Vegas Holiday Hoops Classic, which I think they'll be a favorite in that.
Real quick,
as well.
While we're on it, when does Troy play Coastal?
That game is the first conference game for both teams, and it's at Troy. We will probably have a let me check Coastal Carolina's schedule here. They play South Carolina State, who is 1-9.
Oof.
And they play Elon, who's 3-5. So we will probably have a one-loss Coastal Carolina team coming into Troy, Alabama to take on most likely a two-loss Troy team, because they play Kent State and Toledo, I believe.
Yeah, those are wins.
Yeah, Kent State 5-3, Toledo 3-5. So a little bit better.
Kent State might be. Don't sleep on Kent State.
Yeah,
but
man, you talk about starting the season off on a bang.
What day is that? What game is that?
That would be January 2nd. That is the new year, and it's a new me.
It is a Thursday. I'm getting that from my official statistician, ombudswoman.
Official calendar book reader.
Yeah.
Yep. Throw the deuces up. That's going to be one heck of a game. That's your women's basketball little insight there. Obviously, UL Texas State still 6-3, 6-2, but we've got a lot of season left. It's
absolutely,
especially in conference.
Absolutely, and that's true in the men's as well. Just a quick recap on them: Arkansas State 7-3, Georgia State is 6-3 with a five game win streak. Talked about it last week. They're still hot as heck. Coastal has a four-game win streak. They're next with 7-4, tied with Texas State at third for 7-4. In fifth place, App State and Georgia Southern are tied at 6-4. App State, 6-4. Now, I mean, we are still early in the season. We're still in the non-con part of the year. But didn't App State only win four games last year? Am I losing my mind there? They might have won 10. But
I'm not sure.
They're closing in, if they haven't already, on the number of wins they already had last year. So
I'd be impressed. I'm not sure. I can't say that.
I can't either. But yeah. I would keep an eye on those Mountaineers. They might make it out of the non-con a better team than they were last year. Speaking of, I'm not even going to try that. You talked about defense. You talked about defense with the women. I'm going to talk a little bit about the offense with the men.
Okay.
And because I was pouring through the schedule real quick, let's talk about some 100-point games.
All right.
As of this recording, December 15th, Texas State dropped a .117. It was a nobody school. I don't care about the other schools. But the point is, Texas State dropped 117 points in one game. That is so far the most points scored by any Sun Belt team this season. They are the third team to have scored 100 points in a game twice. Let's see. So Coastal was the first team to score 100 points twice.
Mm-hmm.
They were not the first to score 100 points. That would be Texas State back in November. But Coastal scored 102 in November and then 114 on December 4th. Georgia Southern also has 200-point games. That's going to be in both November and December. The thing is, Georgia Southern and Coastal both scored over 100 points on one day, November 8th. So we had two Sun Belt teams score over 100 points. I'm just going to run through this real quick. Georgia State also has a 100-point game. Now to the fun stuff that I love. So that's real quick, four teams with 100-point games, five teams actually, three teams with 200-point games. Troy also had a 100-point game. Remember when they scored 104 against whoever the heck it was? It was at the end of December, end of November. Troy is the only team to have given up 100 points to any team, and they did that to Indiana. Indiana scored exactly 100 on them.
100, yep.
So far, Troy is the only team to have scored 100 on somebody and given up 100 in the season so far. I don't think that...
I don't know how great a stat that is for Troy.
No.
It's okay.
But it's some good stuff.
I like it. 100 points.
Troy is all over the place on that. Yeah. I'm also getting some information from my ombuds woman, Richie Riley at South. Apparently, there was a game where if they'd scored 100 points, the students would get free paint wings.
Oh, wings.
Probably Buffalo Wild Wings thing.
The hot dog thing, that was Jackie Moon.
Sorry. Yeah.
he didn't want to score 100.
Basically, Riley didn't let South score 100, and he kept the students from getting wings.
But he promised if they filled the stands, he would buy all the students' wings.
That's so much lamer, though. He said...
it's a lot of wings.
He said it was a class thing. He said, you need to... I'll link the video interview of why he did that and send it to the Bench Boys. Look for it on social media.
That's a good tease to our social media. Go check out this video on social media. But I still think that's kind of lame. Like, you were right there. We'll agree to disagree. But the point is, you had an opportunity. Imagine that, though. Like, your students are pulling for you, and you just cut out. You just stop. You just keep your team from doing what they're supposed to be doing in order to just satisfy this. What are you doing right now? You're writing down. You're taking some notes.
Uh-huh.
What you doing?
I'm paying attention.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay. What are you writing notes about? What you got?
Our upcoming stuff.
Okay.
Sorry. I'm still paying attention, though.
The point is...
Richie Riley... I don't know Richie Riley. I know him. I know he can literally pump up...
What she's saying is that he told the students, I'm not going to get them to score 100 points and get you free wings. If you fill the stands...
Yeah.
He didn't know?
He didn't know it.
How do you not know? How does... okay, I'm not going any further with that.
I just know Richie Riley could probably get a funeral home pumped up for something.
Oh, yeah.
Because that guy makes you want to walk through a wall. That's what I know about Richie Riley.
But he didn't...
He's probably got the money to buy everybody wings.
Oh, for sure.
He's got a nice contract there, right? So... That's pretty much...
Anyway, I'm not going to bash on Richie Riley because I don't know the guy... But I'm with the students on this one.
Yeah.
You're real close, dude.
I want some wings.
Right.
What about half a wing?
Look, if Buffalo Wild Wings is going to spend that much money with your program.
What about flats? No drums, just flats.
All right. I'll do it. I don't care. Boneless, traditional. So chicken.
Chicken nuggets? Chicken nuggets?
It could be nugs. It could be nugs.
Fried chicken?
Do you like fried chicken? I like fried chicken.
All right, that's enough for that.
So we're slowly becoming a food podcast now.
Yes, we are. Okay, where else are we going to go in the belt?
My point with that was just that...
we love wings.
If you're going to get Buffalo Wild Wings, yeah. If you're going to get a restaurant to like pay that much for that kind of sponsorship, I would hold them to it. Yeah. That's my personal opinion. But I also love, like, I'm going to keep track with these 100-point games. I'm going to do a spreadsheet now. I'm a spreadsheet guy. I'm going to do some spreadsheet and get some wings.
You're like Marshall in How I Met Your Mother. He always loves the charts.
I've been told
You're all about the spreadsheet.
I've really been told that before.
Didn't he have a pie chart talking about... Like how it was a bar chart on how much he liked pie charts, right? Like his and the declining of it or something like that. You're like that.
Now we're turning into a How I Met Your Mother podcast.
Yeah. I mean, that's fun.
And I've never seen the show, so it's kind of weird.
Never seen it. How have you as a wife? Okay.
Anyway, back to sports.
Yeah, back to sports. Let's continue going around the belt.
Yeah.
Take us into some preseason rankings.
Because, yeah, we're talking about. Football is wrapping up. Football. Basketball is getting heated up.
Basketball.
baseball is just a twinkle in the eye of sports right now. Like it's not even warm enough for pitchers to start reporting yet. Ching, like,
ching.
Yeah, exactly. That's ching. You hear it. That's it right there.
That's the twinkle.
Yeah, Jiminy Cricket. But that didn't stop collegiate baseball from saying, you know what, we're going to put together our preseason rankings. While y'all are sleeping, somebody's Merry Christmas. Hyped. Here's your gift. And I pulled out all the Sun Belt teams that were even mentioned in the article.
Okay.
South Alabama is the highest ranked Sun Belt team.
Whoa.
South Alabama, right?
Wow.
I know. 23.
Top 25.
Exactly.
Ah.
And you want another one? Louisiana, 24.
Ooh.
So we got two Sun Belt teams in the top 25.
Well, now I'm getting giddy about it.
Wait, just wait. The regular season champion.
Coastal.
Regular season.
No, regular season.
Texas State. And the tournament champion, Coastal.
Coastal.
Both receiving votes.
So we got four teams basically all the way up there in the top 40 probably.
Yeah, 50.
50.
We'll say 50.
Okay.
But here's the deal. Coastal ended up winning the conference championship. And they have received their receiving votes. Texas State is the regular season champion. That's what I said. They finished number one in the West. They finished with the number one seed. And they're receiving votes. Louisiana finished fourth in the West last year. They were an 8 seed. South Alabama, third in the East. They were the 7 seed.
Wow.
And those are the two teams that are on top. So what's going on in those programs? We got to find out.
I know South Alabama got a really good pitching coach because he came from Troy.
What is it with offensive-minded people going from Troy to South?
I don't know.
Edenfield, now your pitching coach?
I can't remember. His name escapes me right now. Calvi's still there, right?
Calvi's still there, yeah.
Yeah, he's still the coach.
He's still head guy.
Yeah, no, I think this year, just something that you know, we talked about, about 2 years ago, I think our first episode was where the conference championship is going to be at this year. This will be the first year.
The first or second episode.
Yeah, this will be the first year that it will not be held at a school. It's going to be held in Montgomery, Alabama at the Montgomery Biscuits Stadium.
Right.
So at Riverwalk there. That's going to be awesome. I mean, I might try to make a trip up there just to go see it.
We might have to.
I think it would be really fun
to go up there. We got a podcast.
We can probably get credentialed for it.
We can.
So we'll cover that. So we might cover that. I think that'll be really cool. But preseason. I mean, I'm already kind of hyped. I'm already gonna like start looking into baseball now. Who's got some good pitchers. Anybody got draft eligible guys?
I gave you four. I'm gonna give you four more because Georgia Southern finished top in the East. They were number two in the conference, the second seed in that tournament. They weren't listed on this list.
Mm.
Little Rock, second in the West, number three seed. They weren't on this list.
Mm-hmm.
UTA, third in the West, number four seed. Not on this list.
Mm.
Those three teams right there.
I mean, Troy won 40 games last year, didn't they?
You're thinking of the year before when they made it in. It was Coastal and Troy in the thing.
Last year,
Troy was fourth in the East and finished sixth seed. They ended up making a deep run because they went to the semifinals.
Yeah.
They didn't win it all, but they made it to the semifinals. They were blanked by Southern, who ended up losing to Coastal.
Okay.
But the third team worth watching, too, because all four of these teams, it's 8 of 12, these are all teams worth watching because they could all be ranked at any point in the season.
Mm.
So keep an eye out. South is right now number one.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if that was the way that this – the preseason poll look to South Louisiana, Coastal, Texas State. I'm going to say it and say it and say it until Coastal really bottoms out. Because even last year,
they still got a good program.
Yeah.
Those are guys that I remember we talked about last year, the guys on this team, and that's why, like, I don't think we were shocked that they made a run because these were the same players that were on that team when they won the national title.
Right.
Game. Yeah.
And we talked about how, I remember specifically saying we don't have red flags yet. Don't get excited just yet. But then at some point it felt like Coastal had fallen off the bandwagon.
Mm-hmm.
But even then they still came back and won the conference.
Yeah, so they are a baseball program. They will be there come time at the end of the year.
Yep.
Guarantee we're going to be talking about him. Yep. Like, I'll go back and play this episode. And I want to excerpt it into that episode of when we talk about, oh, hey, who's playing in the conference championship? Oh, it's Coastal Carolina. There you go. So
we did that last year.
Yeah.
And we're going to do it again this year.
It's a revolving door.
Yep. Nothing ever changes. Yeah. Speaking of revolving doors, coaching carousel, nothing interesting to note. Like I said, Billy Napier still hanging around.
He's still here. So is Bill Clark for UAB.
Yep.
So those are kind of the two shockers, I think, at this point.
Yeah.
But we got a lot of coaches.
There aren't a lot of openings right now. And it seems to me now more than ever, the past 2 years at least, I've noticed a shift that these bigger Power 5 openings, they're going to go get a Power 5 coordinator. They're not going to go get a Group of 5 coach. Missouri, they're not a blue blood, but they went and got a Group of 5 coach. Yeah. Everywhere else, Arkansas, they got a coordinator. Mm-hmm. Ole Miss.
The Lane Train.
Okay, that's different. But I'm seeing a lot of coordinators going to Power 5 schools.
I think we might see some influx of NFL guys come down. I think Joe Brady at LSU, I think he's opened up a lot of people's eyes of saying, oh, man, why don't we go get some offensive coordinators in the NFL and go pay him some money? And, I mean, he's wrecked everybody this year. I mean, you saw Joe Burrow. That was impressive. I mean, I know we talked Group 5, but Heisman, he garnered 90% of first place votes.
Absolutely smothered everybody.
That was the largest amount ever garnered by one player for first place votes ever in the Heisman voting history. I mean, it wasn't even close. I mean, everybody knew it. I mean, you'd be an idiot to be like, oh, one of the, like, not that Justin Fields was the preseason favorite, mind you. He went 40 touchdowns and one interception. That's a hell of a year. You're 40-1 and you aren't even.
And didn't win the Heisman.
Here, you want to know the biggest, like, I guess, snub in probably Heisman history? Go look at Jonathan Taylor, the running back for Wisconsin. Yeah. The kid has 6,000 yards in 3 years. 6,000. And has never gotten an invite to New York.
I'm going to do this because I honestly don't know much. I'm never going to claim to know the future. Yeah. But I'm willing to bet money we will not see another running back win the Heisman for a decade.
You think a decade?
I think a decade.
Derrick Henry was the last one to win one in 2014.
Yeah, he was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And Mark Ingram was the last one before
2015,
that.
Something like that.
Mark Ingram was the last one before that.
I guess you got to go to Alabama if you want to win a Heisman.
And not be a quarterback. Back.
Because before them, I think it was like Reggie Bush.
Mm-hmm. 2005.
Yeah. So it's been a while. It's just because of how the offenses are. That's really how it is. And just because everybody, I think everybody was so enamored. It was kind of like last year with Alabama and Tua. You had the entire country had never seen Alabama throw the ball like that. And so they were all under the belief that, oh, my God, it's Tua. And it was Tua. Tua is an incredible athlete. But this year you had an LSU team, and LSU has never had a quarterback. I mean, never. Jamarcus Russell, and look how he turned out.
Okay.
They bragged about Zach Mettenberger. That's not great.
Okay.
It's not great.
I'm going to defend those two, and this is why, and this is the only reasons why. Jamarcus Russell was the last good quarterback LSU had.
And then he was literally the biggest bust of all time in the NFL.
You're right. Okay. You're absolutely right. I'm not going to take that away from you.
Him and Trent.
But in college, if we're going to talk about what he did at LSU and nothing else, he was a hell of a player.
He was a big dude.
He could throw that ball far.
I mean, yeah, he could chuck the ball. But obviously that didn't pan out very well in the NFL.
Look, you can't judge an LSU. You can't judge a quarterback. You
can't judge an LSU quarterback.
You can't judge an LSU quarterback based on what they do in the NFL, because apparently they don't do well.
No.
So you can't judge a quarterback. Yeah. You can't say LSU never had a quarterback based on what the quarterbacks did in the NFL.
Yeah,
because obviously they never found out.
I just think that's what helped Joe Burrow so much this year, is that everybody was just so enamored with LSU this year. They've never seen LSU be what LSU was this year.
He also performed
I'm not taking anything away from his performance. The kid had like 4,800 yards passing. He had 48 touchdowns. I mean, the kid had stupid numbers. But I think what helped him was the fact that everybody was like, oh, my God. I mean, it was just like Tua last year. The problem is Tua went up against, Kyler Murray. Mm-hmm. And that was his problem. So there wasn't that dual threat guy this year that would have given people maybe a thought of, that guy ran for 900 yards. Jalen was close, but Jalen only ran for, 600, 700 yards this year, which is still pretty good. But and he finished, second? I think Jalen finished second, or did Justin finish second?
Yeah, it was Jalen.
Yeah,
it was Jalen.
So he finished second, and that was a pretty tight race. So if you take Burrow out of there, it was a really close vote.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Congratulations, Joe Burrow. We'd be remiss to not talk about the Heisman winner.
I feel like, aren't we a Sunbelt podcast?
We are a Sunbelt podcast.
No, that's cool. Yeah. I'm just joking on you there. You still got those notes written down. You can touch on them?
No, it's for our pick-ems.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You want to get to that?
Let's get them. Best bets. That's right. We got some picks. It's bowl season. It's bowl season, Thomas.
It's bowl season.
I'm stoked. This is the most fun time of year because we want to know what we see. A bunch of college kids get a bunch of free crap that nobody else gets. It's pretty awesome. Like, didn't one year the kids in the suite, they got like a PlayStation 4 and
that was something
a PlayStation like Fiesta Bowl or something. So unfortunately, we don't have those amazing. Like we don't have the Belt Bowl.
No.
But obviously, this is the last year of the.
I mean, if we could get if they could all get into Roth IRA from LendingTree, that'd be awesome.
That'd be kind of cool.
You know, if you went to
Really give something that the kids can build on.
Right.
Over the years.
Exactly.
Not just some like toy.
Exactly. Like they go to the Camellia Bowl sponsored by Redcom. I'll give them I don't know. Oh, you're right. Is that the Gray Television?
It's still Raycom. This is the last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's going to become the what next year?
Actually, I don't even know if it's the Raycom Camellia Bowl.
I don't think it is.
It's the Camellia Bowl this year. I think Raycom was last year. So a lot of people didn't. I don't think they picked up like a. I think the city's probably doing it this year, and they just called it the
Camellia Bowl. Mobile.
So we got five teams, and we have one special game that we'll be talking about. Cure Bowl features Liberty and Georgia Southern, Camellia, FIU, Arkansas State, New Orleans, App State, UAB, Arizona Bowl, Wyoming and Georgia State, and the Lending Tree Bowl in Mobile, Alabama features Louisiana Raging Cajuns and Miami of Ohio.
It is Miami of Ohio. I wrote down Ohio.
Let's just jump right into it. The Cure Bowl, which will be featured on CBS Network. Just let everybody know. If you want to watch it, guess what? Your ESPN Plus account gets you nothing. Absolutely nothing.
You lose. Bowl. Good day,
I
sir.
I thought we were supposed to be all in on ESPN, and I thought all the games were supposed to be on ESPN.
Look, we could be CUSA.
You could be that.
And we could be watching some home games on the NFL Network.
And on Facebook. Yeah.
Now, the Arizona Bowl, remember, it was on Twitter.
Yeah, it was on Twitter. That might be where it goes to. The Cure Bowl, Georgia Southern and Liberty. I got a couple of quick notes. Georgia Southern enters the game as a 4.5-point favorite as of this recording. Last five games, up and down. Up and down for Georgia Southern. They're two losses in their last five games. Troy, 21 points, and then they lost to Ark State by 5. They were really never in that ball game. They Ark State was up big, and they had to come back, make it close. But then they have two wins. They have a 28-point win over Georgia State, and obviously the big win, the only loss that App State had all year, was a 3-point win over App State. So just kind of an up and down over the last five games for Georgia Southern. Do they have a healthy Shy Words? That's the question mark for them. Can J.D. King, the transfer from Oklahoma State, can he keep it going? He has 800 yards rushing on the season. Can he keep it going against a Liberty defense? And what defense are we going to see out of Georgia Southern? Are we going to see the one that showed up that didn't show up against Troy and allowed 300 yards rushing? Or are we going to see the one that shut down Georgia State and held them to less than 150 yards rushing? So that's the real question mark that I think I have. I know you're trying to jump in here.
No,
let me just give a quick Liberty here. Buckshot. That's all you got to know. Buckshot Calvert, still there. Us Troy fans, we know about Buckshot. His real name's like Sean Calvert. But
Steven.
It's like, or Steven, but it's Steven Buckshot Calvert.
Is his middle name actually Buckshot?
I think so. They called him on the broadcast, they called him Buckshot whenever he threw the ball. So Yeah. Yeah, Buckshot, he knows how to throw the ball. 3,400 yards passing on the season. 26 touchdowns. Here's my favorite one. Handy Gandy wide receiver. Not the Handy Gandy notebook. No, Gandy Golden is their wide receiver. He's really, really good. Antonio Gandy Golden. He's the golden boy. However many puns that I can make out of this name, I'm going to try to do it as best as I can. 1,300 yards receiving, 9 touchdowns. He, I think, is top. I think he finished the season top 6 in receiving yards on the season. And, of course, then you have the illustrious Hugh Freeze, who coached a couple games from a bed up in the coaching booth. He's just he's not Lane Train.
No.
But he's a very interesting man. Their last 5 games, kind of interesting row. Losses, they lost to Rutgers by 10 points.
Oof.
They lost to BYU by, I believe that's 7. And then they lost to UVA by 28 points. Their wins, UMass we figured out had the worst defense in the country, won that by 42. And then this was an interesting one. They played New Mexico State not once, but twice, and beat them twice. So
same thing as last year, wasn't it?
I think so. So they have 2 wins over them. They come into the game 7-5, I believe is their record. Yep, 7-5. So, Georgia Southern 7-5.
So recap for me what their wins are again.
Over the last 5 games.
No, no, period.
Oh, period. Okay. Well, here you go. They have a win over Buffalo, Hampton, New Mexico State. They're 3-0 against New Mexico, like the state of New Mexico. Maine, watch out, and UMass and New Mexico State again.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So they're 7-5 with 3 of their wins coming over the state of New Mexico. So think about that. Hugh Freeze is good. He gets a lot of. He's making a lot of money at Liberty. He's gonna make some more money because he's going to have to be there for I think 2 or 3 years. Then he'll somehow end up as a, you know, probably an analyst with University of Alabama because Nick Saban, somebody did a really good, story on his internships that he gives coaches that are down on their luck, you know, still getting their buyouts,
coach edition,
making millions of dollars, but they're down on their luck and they have to go to Nick Saban to save their coaching career. Yeah, right. So he'll probably end up with Alabama here in a couple years. So, I think it's Georgia Southern. I think the physical Georgia Southern defense shows up here. They're a 4.5-point favorite. I think they cover that easily, to be honest with you.
So here's the thing for me. The first thing that jumped out was that talking about Stephen Calvert and Gandy, the obvious parallels to me are Caleb Barker and Reggie Todd and Omar Bayless and Lane Hatcher, because Troy fans saw how Stephen Calvert tore up that Troy defense a year ago or 2 years ago.
Yeah, I wouldn't say tore him up. They were able to keep Troy's defense off the field for a long time.
They put a ton of yards up, though.
I think they did.
They did. Yeah. And even if they didn't do it against Troy, they've done it this year. They've done it last year. But that's the first thing that jumps out to me. You compare the two teams. Those are the two games over the past 4 games that you just told me, mm-hmm. or the past 4 games. Those are the 2 games that Southern has lost. Mm-hmm. Is that Troy air raid offense,
yeah.
and the Arkansas State pass heavy offense.
Yeah, and they have a big time wide receiver.
Here's my not so fast moment. I specifically asked for those teams that they played. You said, yeah, there's 3 wins over the state of New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are 4 wins in the New England area, Buffalo, Hampton, Maine, and UMass. 2 of those teams are FCS teams.
Mm-hmm.
One of those teams should be an FCS team. And the other one is coming off of a year where they lost their best quarterback ever, just about.
Mm-hmm.
None of those wins are impressive
Mm-mm.
at all.
Nope.
So, I mean...
And they got downright... They lost to Rutgers. Rutgers is not good.
Yeah.
And then they got smoked.
Now, I will say this. Rutgers is a Big Ten team. Mm-hmm. They're battle-tested if they're nothing else. They're absolutely smacked around by every other big team they've ever played. But the point is, I wouldn't judge it based on Rutgers. I'm going to judge it based on these 6 teams, 7 games, mm-hmm. and say, yeah, Calvert's probably going to do some damage against their run or against their pass defense. Mm-hmm. But Liberty, I don't think, has won against an offense like this.
Yeah.
They definitely haven't won against an offense like this. So, yeah, I'm going to go with you again on Georgia Southern. And we spent a lot of time on that one and diagnosing that one. But yeah. I don't care. Southern over Liberty. And I'm not sure how close it's going to be, honestly.
Yeah. I'm going to go Camellia Bowl.
Let's
go to Alabama. FIU and Ark State. FIU, that other FU team.
They're the ones that want to get Willie Taggart, aren't they? Or no, FAU wants to get Willie Taggart.
Yeah, FAU got Willie Taggart.
I'm missing
Yeah, they got him. So it's okay. Ark State comes into this game 2.5 point favorite. It's all right. They have a 4 point. Their last five games not as up and down as Georgia Southern was, but still some kind of questionable. This was, I was looking into it. They were really good in one possession games this year, mm-hmm. like really good.
Absolutely.
They beat Troy by one possession. It was like a 50-43 game.
Yeah.
And then their last four games. They had four of their last five games were a one possession game. They got three wins over Georgia Southern. They won by five. Coastal Carolina won by one. And ULM won by seven. But their only loss, the inexplicable one at the end of the year, South Alabama by four. That was kind of the inexplicable one. Some superlatives. They have the other, I'm going to quote it now, the other Lane Train. How about that
okay.
one?
Okay. All right.
How about that one?
Go for it.
How about that one? The other Lane Train.
I'll let you have it.
That's Lane Hatcher, the freshman, all whatever. I mean, the kid just showed out as a freshman. Omar, oh God, because that's what the FIU fans are going to say.
Yeah.
Is Omar, oh God. That, like, when they see this kid, that's what they're going to say. And then the Arkansas State defense, where are they? Are they going to show up for this game? They haven't showed up the entire season. They're giving up 480 yards of total offense a game.
480. That's what I'm saying. 8-0.
Yeah, 8-0.
480.
8-0. FIU, kind of some question mark. Who stands out for FIU? I was looking at their quarterback. Doesn't have impressive numbers. Only 1,300 yards passing. Their running back, their top leading rusher, only has 700 yards rushing. They're 6-6. It's been a really up and down year for them. Their last four games, they went 1-3, kind of the opposite of what Arkansas State did. A 3-point loss to Marshall, a 30-point loss to FAU, and a 33-point loss to Middle Tennessee State. But then they go and they beat Miami. I just don't get it. It just really up and down. I'm going to give this one to Ark State. I think Blake Anderson gets his team together. I think Omar Bayless is going to go off in this game. I don't think FIU has a defensive back that has probably played a wide receiver like him all year long. Not many teams have. I'm going to go Arkansas State. They're also a 2.5 point favorite. I think they cover that easily. I think they should be closer to like a touchdown favorite, to be honest with you. So, I think Arkansas State travels well. I think they like coming down to Montgomery. I've heard a lot of their fan base that really does like coming down to Montgomery. And Camellia Bowl, I got to cover it 1 year. It's a really fun bowl game. They do some really fun stuff. It's one of the first bowls to be played. So I think they're going to have a really fun time down in Montgomery. What you got?
FIU beat Miami?
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Like, no, that's blown me away that when you said that.
30-24.
Threw me off for
Biggest
a second.
Biggest win in school history.
It's got to be.
Yeah. Oh, it is. I got a buddy that's actually the play-by-play. I was hoping to actually get him on this week's show. Some stuff kind of fell through. But no, AJ Ricketts is the play-by-play guy. It was incredible because I follow him on social media. What happened. Like, because FIU, that's the other Miami school. That's basically what that is. They're the other. They're the little brother of Miami. Like, they're the other.
And they
Miami.
Went out and beat Manny Diaz in year two.
They beat the big boy out of that town. I mean, that it was an incredible week on that campus. So, I'm going to go Ark State for this one. And, that's what I got.
Hold up. This says team/opponent. All right, passing yards. So here's the weird thing. We're going to call Arkansas State a passing team. Is that acceptable to you?
Sure.
So 241 yards. The opponent threw for 241 yards. The opponent lost. The opponent threw for 224 yards. The opponent lost. The opponent threw for 290 yards. The opponent won by 8 points. The opponent threw for 318 yards and won by 30. The opponent threw for 249 yards and lost by 6. So here's the clear, obvious boundary there.
300.
You got to throw for more than 300 or fewer than 200 in order to beat FIU. Now, do I think that Arkansas State, a passing team, can throw for more than 300 yards against FIU? I really think they do. Yeah, Arkansas State, I don't know if how close it's going to be, but...
It's 2.5.
It says 2.5, and it feels like it should be a coin flip game, but my gut is saying, no, dude, this isn't going to be as pretty as it looks. Mm-mm. FIU is impressive. They've been a sneaky good team this past couple years. But I don't think they're as sneaky good as Arkansas State is.
Yeah.
Did you say Arkansas State as well?
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to go Arkansas State.
Okay, so. Cool.
Okay, then we're going to go to the New Orleans Bowl. Just quick shout out to my wife. 2 years ago, got engaged at the New Orleans Bowl. It's pretty good. Thanks for the ring, Neil Brown. So, yeah. No, that was crazy. That was a great game. All right, so no, App State. Still, that video blows my mind. So go check it out, 3130 Media on YouTube, RNL Carries Dome.
Shout out.
Yeah, that's a plug. The definition of plug. No, App State, UAB, App State 12-1 UAB. This is a no-brainer. UAB got rolled by FAU. I mean, 48-6. App State brings this same type of an offense. They average 40 points a game. UAB just can't do anything. Their offense is dismal. Even with App losing their coach, they still roll. They still have all of the talent there. They're still going to be able to put a field a team. I think App State rolls. They're a 17-point favorite. I think they get 16.5. I think they get right there. I think they're a 17-3 touchdown game win for them. So no, I'm going to give them 13 wins. Is going to be impressive.
I agree. They'll be the first team in that state to win 13 games. And right, well, you know, you gotta break through the ceiling somehow. Yep. And I have to agree with you. Did we ever figure out what went wrong with the UAB team? Because they absolutely fell apart the past couple weeks. Like, now they held it together long enough to limp into this Conference USA championship, but
they kind of did the same thing that Ark State is. They won the one possession games, you know, leading up to that. But then they just played a way better offensively talented FAU team, and they're about to play another team that is just like FAU.
I would say, I'm not trying to take anything away from FAU, but
I think systematically, and I think they perform better.
This is going to be similar to the Troy North Texas game 2 years ago, where on paper, this team should be pretty similar. Teams should be pretty close, but. Yeah. You know how that game ended because you were there, and what happened after the game was more important to you. But you remember what happened before that
UAB
moment.
UAB does have a decent defense. They hold teams to under 300 yards a game. I will give them that.
That's not going to do that with Appalachian State.
I just don't see. App State doesn't.
With Darrington Evans in his last game, and with that entire team playing their they not even playing their last game for what's his face.
Yeah, Johnson's still.
Yeah, Tyler Johnson's still there.
But their offense has been kind of dismal. I mean,
didn't they have him last week?
I don't know.
Okay, never mind.
I'm not sure if he played in the.
I apologize. I assumed you were a CUSA.
He played a little bit.
He played against Southern Miss.
No, I don't know.
He didn't play against Southern Miss, but he did play against FAU. He went 4-11 for 42 yards. Just not good. I mean,
4-11.
Yeah, just not good.
He only threw the ball 11 times. Yeah, that's good. A big problem there.
They're gonna have to do something better.
You're not gonna get that chance against Appalachian State. This is their game where they're gonna come out and smack you around to prove that they should have been in the NY6.
They can play the low scoring games. That's the thing with App State.
Yeah, that's their MO.
Yeah.
But I think this is it. Their coach comes out and says, "Look, guys, I'm here now. This is my team." Mm-hmm. And I want y'all, like, we're going to go out there one good time and show them the team that we're supposed to be. For sure.
Yeah. So 20.2 and 20.8, that is what the respective defenses give up in a game this year for App State and UAB. So it's going to be an interesting game, but I'm going to take App State.
Take App State with the points. Yeah. I don't care where the line is. Take App State with the points.
Then we go. We head out west to Wyoming and Georgia State. This right here, this is the only game that I think the Sun Belt will lose.
I agree.
Only game.
I agree.
Because Dan Ellington, obviously, I don't even know how he'll play. He might have had surgery by this time. I'm not sure. But Wyoming, 7-5. Georgia State, 7-5.
Georgia State's another one of those teams that kind of just kind of limped into the bowl season.
Well, they had so many injuries, and their defense
and literally limped.
Their defense really fell apart.
They're not gonna. They're never gonna have a 100% Dan Ellington again. That's a reality that Panthers fans need to face. Mm-hmm. I can't say that in any nice way, but even if he does play, he's not gonna be 100%.
See, this is a really interesting game. Wyoming leans heavily on its defense. Heavily. They only give up 360 yards a game. They're giving up less than 100 yards rushing a game. Then you go up against a Georgia State offense that is what they predicate themselves on, is running the ball, 245 yards rushing a game. So strength versus strength. We're going to see what gives. Wyoming, not a good offense. They have yet, in their last five games, the most points that they scored was 21, and that was in a loss. It was in a loss. And they won two games. They won one game 17-7. Excuse me, they scored 31 against Nevada and only gave up three. But then they only scored 17 against Boise State, 21 against Utah State, and 6 against Air Force.
So these...
They do not have a great offense. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
Because Georgia State's defense proved to be pretty solid.
Yeah.
My question is, how many passing yards does Wyoming give up? Is that a big weakness for them, or are they... you got the stats in front of you. That's why
Wyoming,
I ask.
They give up 128 yards passing.
You know, I feel like that's enough.
Wait. No. Defense?
Yes.
Oh, Wyoming. They give up 265 yards passing. Sorry.
Wyoming gives up 265 yards passing.
They only average 128 yards passing.
See, if Georgia State gets a quarterback that can be consistent and make completions. Mm-hmm. Georgia State's going to win this ball game because they're not going to have to rely on the run.
So ESPN's pick center is all messed up because Wyoming's getting 7.5 points. No, Wyoming is a 7.5 point favorite.
Yes.
But then it says Georgia State is a 7-point favorite in the spread consensus pick. So I don't know. Something's up with that. I'm going to follow. I think Wyoming is the favorite in this game.
Absolutely.
7.5 seems like a lot. Seems like a lot because, I mean, Wyoming's only scoring 24 points and they're only giving up 17. Georgia State just gives up 36 points.
You know what?
A game.
I'm going to do this. I agree with you on principle. I think this is the only game that the Sun Belt will lose if it loses one. I'm going to change my pick. I'm going to pick Georgia State in this.
That's
one.
That's fine. Do it.
Just because I'm starting to look at this and feel differently about it.
If they get their run game going. They
absolutely
can do it,
but the thing is that you're right, but if they can pass, then Wyoming doesn't necessarily stand a chance. If they get any sort of passing game going, then the run game's going to be fine.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. So then Louisiana and Miami of Ohio. Good night. I feel bad for Miami of Ohio because they are about to play an offense that they've never played the entire
look guys
entire season.
Enjoy your trip to Mobile. Go to the battleship.
Time. Eat some.
You
can, eat some
don't really need to go to Gulf Quest. Get you some. Don't go to Wenzel's.
Don't go to Wenzel's.
I'm not gonna say that, but you do you. You know, if you're looking for a good time, let me know. I can hook. Shut up.
No, Louisiana 14-point favorite in this game. They're coming in the game averaging 265 yards on the ground. Miami of Ohio gives up 175 a game, which is not great. They only give up 206 yards passing, so they have a decent secondary. But the problem is, it's just too much Louisiana. I think Louisiana gets 11 wins, and I think the Sun Belt goes 5-1 in their games.
Yeah, that's way outside the upset meter there. I would like to also point out, while I'm still thinking about it, the upset meter, it was right in the range for Georgia State, Wyoming, by the way.
Yeah, Georgia State was
28%. That's right there in the middle.
It's close.
We're
going to come back to that game. That game is December 31st. We got to wait a little while for that.
Yeah,
game,
but we'll talk about it.
Yeah, we got three games this coming weekend for that. We also have one last game.
That's most important game.
The most important game, our favorite Division II team. We talked about them a little earlier, making their incredible run. They will play probably the toughest team, the best offense they've ever played all season long. This is an insane team. Minnesota State, which used to be, I'm pretty sure, known as Mankato.
Mankato, yeah.
Or Minnesota Duluth. I'm not really sure.
It's about the same.
They have scored 80 points in a game this year. We're talking about Minnesota State. They have scored 70 points twice in one game. They have scored 60 points in a game. And they have scored 50 points twice in one game. This is going to be the toughest offense UWF has ever played outside of Valdosta State. What happened in the Valdosta State series? They lost them one time. Then they came back and they beat them. This year, this is the thing. They've got a couple classes that were in the last time. The last time they were in the national championship game. They came up short, lost by, I think, 10 points. It ain't going to happen again. West Florida going to pull up another upset. They were a 19-point dog on the road last week and won by 2 touchdowns. It is extremely hard to find any line on this game. The only places that probably have it are Massey, and I haven't checked it today. They're probably going to be a 2-touchdown underdog in this game. I guarantee it, just because of how many points Montana State scores. Problem is, it's a different culture down here in the Gulf South Conference. A lot of people think it's one of the better conferences in the country. Minnesota State plays in a very weak conference, and that's why they're putting up 80 points, 70 points. They're about to play a defense that actually knows how to play football. And I firmly believe West Florida is about to win its first national championship this Saturday.
I would absolutely love to see it, because if that happens, we're going to both have to go to that parade. Here's the deal. I'm not sure it happens.
Oh.
I'm going to take Minnesota State.
This is the Mobile guy. He can't pick the Pensacola team.
That's what I'm saying. Now. I
can't wait to say I told you so.
Okay. How many times this year have I picked against the school I love?
Probably none.
In order to... Troy? Yeah.
In order to have a better record.
Right.
Probably a couple times.
I'm here to play the game.
You're playing the game.
I'm here to play the game.
Play it the right way.
I want West Florida to win. Not as much as you do, because, I mean, you're you. But I want to see them win. The thing is, I just don't see. I still think that's
a
pretty powerful.
You think the magic has run out?
No, I just don't think they're at the point where they can get over the hump yet.
Okay.
I think they come back next year and just go undefeated and win it all. But I think
they have a redshirt freshman at quarterback. It's pretty scary.
Honestly, at the record we're going, I'd say 2 years, to be honest. Because next year, they got to have the off year. It's going to be off year, championship. Yeah. Off year, championship.
Just every other year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. I'm fine with that.
Redshirt freshman going up against an offense that's crazy good. Mm-hmm. I'm not feeling good about it. Right. I'm just not feeling good about it.
I think we're going to talk about this on another show. But
we'll talk about it next week.
Pete Shinnick.
Oh, okay.
Could be a name that you hear in the Sun Belt in a couple of years. Dude, a fan of him. I am a huge fan of him. You're a huge fan of him. But he could be a name that we hear in the Sun Belt in a couple of years.
I lobbied for him last year for the spot at Troy. Yeah. And I took it back because of the season they had last year. Yeah. If I had known that they were going to go back to the championship this year, I wouldn't have taken it back. I'm a huge fan of Pete Shinnick, and I think whichever team picks him up in the Sun Belt
is going
to be a solid team.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. So that'll do it for our bowls, and that'll do it for all of our picks. We're not sure if we're going to have a Christmas episode or not. We have to figure out the whole scheduling for all of that. But if we don't see you guys before Christmas, have a Merry Christmas. Have a blessed Christmas. Enjoy your time. Rip the presents open as fast as you possibly can. Play the video games that day. Just do it. Do it.
Get it out of the way.
I'll tell you a crazy story. Me and my brother. So we had an N64, and we knew that we were getting GoldenEye, and we legit got up at about 2 a.m. in the morning, found the GoldenEye game, like wrapped, unwrapped it, played it for like 2 hours before 6 a.m., put it back, wrapped it back up, put it back under the tree. It was amazing. That was the sneakiest thing I've ever done in my life.
And your parents had no idea.
Wow. No clue. It was epic. It was awesome. So, GoldenEye, officially the greatest N64 game.
It's a great game.
So, have a Merry Christmas. Spend it with your families. Eat a lot of food because it's still the holiday season. And
don't forget to subscribe. We're still here. As long as we're sending out updates, you can get them too. Follow us on Twitter at the OG Bench Boys. Follow us on Facebook. Same thing. He's Colin Cahill at Colin Cahill 13. I'm at Thomas Gleaton at Thomas Gleaton. That's pretty much all of the housekeeping stuff I can think of.
Yeah, I think that's it. Just have a great time. whatever you're doing, and just come on back.